Amen, amen. Well, get your Bibles in hand if you don't already have them, and let's go before the Lord together in prayer. You're welcome to stand if you want to stand. You're welcome to stay seated if you need to stay seated, but let's pray together as we prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord together. Father, we come to you, God, this Christmas weekend, 2024. We're so grateful, God, for Jesus, as we've already said, Lord, as we've already sang. God, today, as we open up the eternal word of God, Lord, let your light shine through. Just as it did on that dark night. God, in our darkness, God, would you bring your light as your word enters in. Today, Lord, we're not looking to a man or a woman. We're looking to you. Holy Spirit, welcome. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we may have gotten off track. God, please, we want to get back on track with you. And God, we do that with the power of your word today. God, we would ask a gift for our church, but also for all the churches this Christmas, God. Would you give us a gift? Would you bless your church? Would you build your church, God? Would you just, all of the churches that are out there preaching the gospel, would you just fill them up with people, God? Would you just fill them up with your presence, Lord? God, we pray for every altar call that's being given this weekend to be filled with people giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. We pray, God, that you would just plant people in the house of God and worldwide, God, that your church be blessed and moving forward in faith, God, and hope, enjoying your great mighty word and work, God, on the earth. And so we thank you, God. We pray that you bless the persecuted church all over the world, God. Tremendous persecution breaking out, God. We pray that you watch over your church, God. Protect them and encourage them. May they endure to the end. Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. And God, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. It's in his name we pray all these things. Everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. Well, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter number one. This is part number three of a series that I did not know was going to be a series when we launched out, called The Christmas Blessing. I thought we were just going to do one time and then have a different message each weekend. But as we've gone throughout the Christmas story, God has shown us a train of thought. Now, if you've missed the first two parts, don't worry about it. I'm going to review, and so you'll be able to get right on with where we're at. But I would encourage you to go back online and listen to those first two messages, because they will bless you and they will encourage you. So far in this series, we've seen that Christmas reminds us that with God, all things are possible. That there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing outside of his reach. Nothing outside of his grasp. That God is the God who does miracles and who does the impossible. Therefore, we ought to expect it. As God's people, supernaturally born again of God, that we should expect our supernatural God to do supernatural things. So that means we've got to believe for it. We got to have faith out there, and so much so that we would actually thank God in advance of his working in our life. God, I thank you that I'm already healed. God, I thank you that the provision is already here. God, I thank you that I have the wisdom and the strength that I need for each new day. God, I thank you that I'm a witness for Jesus and that you've given me influence to share your message and to bring about goodness and godliness on the earth. God, I thank you in advance. Even though we may not see it, with the eye of faith, we can see it, and we've already received it because we believed for it. But last time we together, we saw that there was some blockages to our blessing. And those blockages look like different things, one of them being indifference, that will block your blessing. Not everybody is excited about the things of God. Not everybody really has that heart and that passion. And because of that, they sit around wondering why they're not blessed. And could it be because you don't really care? You need to stir yourself up. Here's another one, selfishness. When there's the wrong motivation and the wrong heart, it blocks our blessing. Pride will get in the way, and God will end up opposing us rather than giving us grace when we humble ourselves. And finally, we found out that we may have the right heart, we may have the right passion, and yet there may still be opposition from Satan and from the demonic forces. We have an enemy of our souls that wants to block our blessings. Now, we didn't just talk about the blockages. We also talked about how to break through those things. How do we break through them? Well, we talked about diligence, dependence, and deliverance, that God wants to move on our lives. As we're diligent about the things of God, we depend on him, and then guess what? God has delivered us. He is delivering us, and God in the future will continue to deliver us. Are you listening? Matthew chapter number one. Let's read this story once again in Matthew chapter number one, starting in verse number 18. And we're going to read down through verse number 25. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." This is what we celebrate at Christmas. May not have happened on December 25th, and yet this is what we're celebrating. This is why we gather together for Christmas. "The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Right there, we can see the virgin birth. We can see the supernatural taking place. But it says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, in these times, a betrothal was really like a marriage. They had a period of time before they actually had the wedding ceremony, but it was as if they were already husband and wife. It was legally binding, and if you were going to separate, you had to get a legal divorce. So here they are, and they're really married, and yet, before they came together, what does that mean? They had not yet consummated the marriage. They hadn't had natural marital relationships yet, and even though that hadn't happened yet, Mary was found with child. God had overshadowed her, like the book of Luke says. And he had placed the Christ child in her womb, and now she's carrying the child. But how many of you know a virgin carrying a child is not just amazing and supernatural and a miracle, but for someone who's betrothed, that provides a problem for them, doesn't it? Because that's not my baby. Whose baby is that? And so Joseph, we find, has a problem on his hands. Verse number 19, that Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Everybody say just. That means he's upright, he's righteous. He fears God. Being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, Joseph may have had a conversation with Mary like, hey, girl, is that a baby bump or did you have extra burritos? You know, what's going on here? And maybe they had the conversation and she told him the story of the angel. And Joseph, being a just man, may have said, well, then if God's doing something, I'm just going to bow out. I'll just put her away privately. Could have been. Or it could have been that they hadn't had the conversation and here they come and he's going, whoa, what's happening? You're with child? And maybe she did tell him the story and he might have not believed it. He may have said, I don't get that. I don't understand that. It's not my child. There's only one way that this happens. Who is he? Was it a Roman? Was it a Jew? Who is he? And he might have thought, well, I can't have this. Therefore, I have to get a divorce. And I just, you know what? I don't want to do any harm to her. I don't want to ruin her reputation. You know, she's got a lot to go through being a single mom. I'm just going to do this privately. Let's just do this quietly. He still would have had to have had witnesses. People still would have had to have been involved. But he didn't want to do what the law said that he could do, and that is drag her out into the open square, accuse her of adultery, and have her stoned to death, where people throw rocks at her until she dies. Why? Because he was a just man. He didn't want that for her, and therefore he decided, you know what, I'm just going to do this privately. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Everybody say, a dream. Notice Mary got the personal visit from Gabriel. We know which angel she got, and she had these amazing things spoken to her. But Joseph, he's thinking about these things, and he goes into a sleep, and he has a dream, and an angel shows up to him, and it says this, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Most of the time when you see angels showing up, and when an angel's speaking, they're saying something. What do they say? They say, don't be afraid. Now, part of that is because of how amazing and awesome these beings are. Massive and mighty, shining bright clothing. They can just appear in a room that's been locked. They're not bound by the natural world that we're in. And so most of the time, an angel shows up and is like, whoa, you know, and they don't be afraid. But notice what he says. He says, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That was either the first time he heard that, or that was a confirming word that Mary had already told him out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every matter is being established. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I love the fact that God works with us. Because Joseph, being the natural earthly father, the stepfather, if you will, but quote-unquote the father of Jesus on the earth, he had a responsibility as dad to do something. What is that? To name the child. And he says, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. We know Joshua. Joshua was the one who brought the children of Israel into the promised land. God used him to make war and to inherit and inhabit the promises of God. Joshua, before he was named Joshua, was named Oshia, which means salvation. But Moses, he had a revelation from God. This guy's not salvation. God is salvation. And he changes his name. He puts Yah on the beginning of it. So it's Yeshua, which is the name. Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation. And so now here comes Jesus, and he says, I want you to call his name Yeshua, Joshua. What does that mean? It means that God is salvation. We get the Greek form of it in Jesus, but it means the same thing. And he says, you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. I love that. He didn't just say he'll save the Jews from their sins. He says he'll save his people. Do we have any of the people of God in the place today? Come on. Any people of God even watching online right now? He will save his people from their sins. So we will call his name Jesus. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, can you read this with me? Which is translated, 1, 2, 3, God with us. See, under the old covenant, God was for us. God was for Israel. God was around Israel. But now all of a sudden, something's going to take place. Something new is going to happen. The virgin is with child, and because of that, God comes in the form of a baby, and he grows up to be a man, and now God is with us. Emmanuel. But I've got even better news for you today, because Jesus said it's advantageous that I go to the Father for your benefit and for your sake. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. See, God is not just for you. God is not just with you. Now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is living in you. God's always with you because he's in you. He's living his life through you. Wow. Amazing. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. But look at verse 25, and did not know her. Now that know her is like Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a son, all right? So he didn't know her like Adam knew Eve in that sense, okay? We all track in here. We all understand what we're talking about. I know some of you guys are sneaking your little kids in here, and so I'm trying to be nice, all right? But he didn't know her. Why not? Till she had brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, Joseph, being a just man, had such a respect for the work of God that was going on the inside of Mary. He says, hey, I'm not getting involved. I don't want anybody thinking that Joseph had any. No, that's a virgin birth, and it's going to happen in God's time, in God's way. And so until God's done doing what he's doing in her, I'm going to back off right now. Even though, men, we have a hard time with that. Is that right? Now, after she had the baby, apparently he knew her very well because they had a whole bunch of kids. You can find his brothers and sisters. Okay, so we know that Mary didn't stay a virgin for the rest of her life like some religions believe. But he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Look at this. Look at this. I love this. In obedience to the angelic vision that he had in the dream. And he called his name Jesus. He fulfilled his part in the plan of God. Now we know that the biggest blessing that we could ever have. Remember, we're talking about the Christmas blessing. The biggest blessing that we could ever have is God himself. See, Christmas reminds us that Jesus is the Christmas blessing. He's not going to give you the Christmas blessing. He is the Christmas blessing. See, sometimes people think of Christmas, God, would you give me a blessing? Would you give me some money? Listen, money is not the Christmas blessing. In fact, sometimes money can be the curse, right? It's ruined people. If you study the lives of some people who have got a lot of money, a big windfall, or maybe won the lottery, sometimes their lives are wrecked because of it, because they can't handle that in their lives. Sometimes having the things that you're believing God for, sometimes, you know, a lot of people can't handle success. Most people can handle failure, but not a lot of people can handle success. And so when we're asking God for a blessing, it's different than the blessing. See, the Christmas blessing is God himself. It's the baby in the manger. It's Jesus in person with us. But now it's the Holy Spirit living in us, because that's the Spirit of Christ. That is the Christmas blessing. God for you, God with you. Why? Because God is in you. And Jesus himself is the Christmas blessing, because when you've got God, you've got it all. You don't need money. I've got God. God has every provision. He has every resource available. If he wants to get it through me, he'll get it to me. I don't have to want. I don't have to need. I don't have to strive. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice, by Christ Jesus. He is the blessing. If I need wisdom, Jesus Christ has been made unto me wisdom. If I need strength, Jesus Christ is the strength of my life and my heart and my portion forever. Jesus is the Christmas blessing. Therefore, God gives us permission to do something. Church, don't be afraid to dream the God dream. Don't be afraid. Just like the angel told Joseph, don't be afraid, Joseph. There's a God thing happening here, and I want you to dream the God dream. And don't be afraid to go for it. Joseph, you wanted to be married? Go get married. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have a great life together. You're going to have a family. You're going to build a life. And guess what? You get to raise the Messiah. Wow. You get to teach him something. Can you imagine teaching God something? Show him your carpentry skills, Joseph. Show him what a man of God looks like. Because by age 12, he's going to be a man of God teaching others the way. Wow. You get to steward this miracle, Joseph. Don't be afraid. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to use you to be someone who can stand in that place, to be the father to the Lord himself. Oh, my goodness. Don't be afraid. See, some of us have shrunk back. Maybe even before 2020, you were having a hard time. Then 2020 hit, and all of us together, right? It felt like someone sucker punched us in the gut. And past 4 years have been tough politically, socially, ethnically. I mean, things are going crazy on the earth. Wars have been breaking out. Turmoil, birth pains, if you will. And it might be hard to dream in this environment because you're saying, wait a second, it's been really tough. I haven't, you know, I had that dream of that business, but they've been raking businesses through the coals in California. It's just really hard to get started, and I don't know what to do. Maybe you've had that dream of a relationship, and you're hitting that roadblock. I can't find anybody, and people are crazy out there, and they're different now. I mean, they used to be pretty crazy, but now, I mean, after 2020, people are isolated. People are angry. People just aren't the same. Man, trying to find a good young man, and all you can find is guys in their basement playing video games. And you're like, what is going on? So you guys trying to find a wife, and it's like, they're all taken, man. What's happening? And yet God says, I know that you've been disappointed. I know that you've been let down, but it's time to dream again. Get your hopes up, church. Start looking for the work of God, because God wants to give you the God dream, because he wants to do the impossible in your life. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible to build a life. It's possible to build a business in California and prosper. It's possible to attend school and to get that diploma and that degree that you've been looking for. It's possible to have a family. It's possible to have children that are raised up in the ways of the Lord, that serve God all the days of their life and don't get involved in the stuff that we were involved in at their age. It's absolutely possible. Don't think for a second God doesn't know how to get you through the dissipation and the flood that's out there. No, God knows how to save you in the ark. His name is Jesus. He's the Christmas blessing that you have. And he's with you. The other night I was dreaming, sleeping. And as I was dreaming about walking and going different places, doing different things. And my knee was hurting in the dream. I was just like, what's this, you know? Pain. That's so odd. And so in the dream, I was like wrapping it, trying to, you know, take care of it. It just kept hurting. Well, I woke up, and I realized when I woke up, my knee is hurting. Like in real life, you know what I'm saying? Not just in the dream, like it really is hurting. And so I was able to move and kind of adjust and, you know, kind of move around. And finally, the pain subsided, stopped in that moment. And I thought, okay, that's much better. See, sometimes we have a problem when we dream is that these little thoughts come in, little pain points. I'd love to have a relationship, but it didn't work out here. I'd love to have reconciliation, but my goodness, these people are crazy and they keep hurting me. I should just close off. I'd love to prosper and have a business, but you know what? They've just been doing these laws and these things. It's just so hard now. I don't think I have the capacity to do that. I don't have any education. I don't have any resource to start out. And these pain points come in, and while we're dreaming, that pain comes in, and it's almost like when we come to our senses, the pain is still there. And so we stop. But can I tell you something? God is with you because he lives in you. And if God is on your side, what can man do to you? If God is for you, who can be against you? Listen, with God, all things are possible. Nothing will be impossible for God. I can't say it any other way other than God is a supernatural God who only does miracles, signs, wonders, and good in your life. And therefore, if God is with you, if he's in you, then dare to dream because God can bring it to pass. Don't let those pain points stop you from dreaming and believing. God can break through every obstacle. He can break through every blockage, and he can do it on your behalf. And so dare to dream, church. because God is with you and he lives in you. Think about how different Joseph's life was when he woke up. He went from worrying and wondering to now taking to him his wife. No longer troubled, he takes her. No longer wondering, he acts without wavering. He's decisive and purposeful. So for the second part of this message, I'm going to turn it over to my beautiful, lovely wife, Pastor Jessica, to talk to us about our part in receiving the miraculous.
That was so good. You know, I had a dream once. I wanted chickens. And Dan looked at me and said, get a new dream. So I'm going to just preach this to you tonight.
Okay, I have to tell you, before you think that I'm so cruel and mean to my wife, that's a quote from the movie Tangled. Your dream stinks, kid. That's what I told her. Jokingly.
Well, you know, that was phenomenal. And, you know, I do believe many of us do have these beautiful dreams. You remember being young and thinking, I'm going to go across the world, God, for you, or I'm going to go start these businesses, and I'm going to go do these things. Then we get older, and things just start happening, and life gets harder, and things stop us in our tracks, and your prayers become a little bit longer, and you're waiting, and the wait time gets longer and longer, and the ask gets longer and longer, and sometimes we just get tired and weary and we give up on the dreams. And yet today I believe God wants to challenge us as the body of Christ on Christmas to look at the story of Jesus, because it was so incredibly supernatural, and it would only be something that God himself could do, because it was the supernatural stepping into the natural and making a miracle happen. And I believe God is the miracle worker. I know he's a God who still does miracles today. And some of us have allowed these things to die in us, but yet God is challenging us this Christmas to ignite it again inside of us, and to allow our spirit man's to awaken to what God wants to do into the future and what he wants to do in this church, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, right here in San Bernardino, with a whole bunch of people that are exes of everything, but yet we have a massive God who came in the form of a babe, and he wrapped himself in humanity, and something supernatural happened so I, the broken hot mess, could come and approach the throne room of God, and I could receive all he has for me, all his dreams, all his purposes, all his plans. You see, so many times we close the chapter on the dream. We close the chapter on the miracle because we allow our natural to overtake the supernatural. And yet, let's see, in this story, there are two people I want to just examine how they handled when God came to them in this Christmas story, one being Zacharias and one being Mary. Let me tell you a little bit about Zacharias. Zacharias was a man of God. He was a priest, and he went before God on behalf of the people over and over every day. And he had a relationship with the Lord. And he and Elizabeth were getting in their older ages, and they wanted to have a child, and she was not able to bear a child. And so this was their prayer. It didn't look like it was going to happen. And while he was in the temple, an angel appears to him. And let's read about what his response to the angel will be. Because I believe that what our response to God is will be also what God does through us, and how God either needs to silence us or move us into new directions. And so let's learn from Zacharias' life. So here we go. Luke 1, 13 through 20. And she says, but the angel said unto him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. In this moment, don't you think Zacharias would be like, right? Like, this is that moment of like, this is happening. Nope, he wasn't there. Verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and they will rejoice of his birth. Verse 15, for he will be of great in the sight of the Lord, and they shall drink neither nor wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. So what was happening was, here he was being birthed naturally, but the supernatural was already going to come upon John in the womb. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people and prepare the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, get ready. He says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. So here he is letting the angel know, this is what's going on. How is this even possible? And then the angel goes on in verse 19. He says, and the angel answers him and says, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and who has sent me to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. But behold, you are mute and you will not be able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Wow. How many times does God want to do something in our lives? He wants to begin to answer our dreams. He wants to begin to answer our prayers. He wants to do something supernatural in our lives. And our natural man comes in and goes, well, hold on. How is that going to happen? Because this and this and this. And we give God the plan as if like he does not know. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. How about we step out of the way and we let God do what he needs to do? And so here was Zacharias. He was put into a position of silence. He was only allowed to just listen and watch for the rest of the pregnancy. God muted him so that his words would not mess up or hurt or deflect or displace the plan and the miracle of what God wanted to do. Whoo, our words can kill it or it can build it. And I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that it was God's mercy and grace on Zacharias' life to shut his mouth so that there was not more killing of that dream, but there was just a learning plan for Zacharias, because he's a God of grace and mercy. You see, Zacharias was a good man, and God knew, we got to shut this up because we got to make this happen. This has to happen, so I'm going to just, you just watch and see what I do. So while Elizabeth was in the process of having John, here comes Mary. And Zacharias, he didn't get to talk to Mary. He just got to watch the baby leap in his wife's womb. And he got to see Elizabeth touch the stomach of Mary and say, oh, but here's my Lord and Savior, the first declaration that God was here. He didn't get to be a part of that with his words, but he got to witness it with his sight and with his hearing. And see, he was in the process of God teaching him and humbling him, because his pride almost took him out. And so many times, we need to guard ourselves that when the dream comes or when the prayer starts to be answered or when God wants to do the impossible, get out of the way, guys. Hold on and let God teach you some things in the middle of the process. Trust that God has your hand. You may not know how it's going to happen, and we may be speaking death over these situations. Zip it, church, and allow God to speak through you. Because I believe that there's power in the tongue, and God knew that he had to fulfill what was needed, and he was going to silence Zacharias in this time. But it was God's grace that loved Zacharias. Remember, they had a relationship. Isn't that good that he loved him that much? That he was like, I'm not going to punish you, but I am going to silence you so that you don't hurt yourself and those around you. Man. But then God knew him so well, he saw what was being built inside of his spirit man in those 9 months. And guess what happened? God said, okay, when this child is born, I'm going to release your tongue. And listen to what Zacharias chose to say after his tongue was released. Luke 1:76-79. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation because I believe that it's just so beautifully, eloquently said. And it says, and to you I prophesy, my little son, this is Zacharias talking, you will be known as the prophet of the Most High. You will be a forerunner going before the face of the Lord Yahweh I love that. To prepare the hearts to embrace his ways, you will preach to his people the revelation of salvation, the cancellation of our sins to bring us back to God. The splendorous light of heaven's glorious sunrise is about to break upon his holy visitation, all because the merciful heart of God is so very tender. The word from heaven will come to us with a dazzling light to shine upon all those who are in the darkness, near death's dark shadow, and he will illuminate the path that leads to the way of peace. This was John the Baptist who prepared the way of the Lord. And here was Zacharias, instead of getting bitter in the silence, instead of getting bitter and maybe not seeing what God allowed him to be a part of the way he wanted it to. No, he humbled himself in that season. He learned from God what needed to happen. And then when he began to speak again, when he used his tongue again, he used it to bless God. He used it to bless what God was doing, and he used it to bring the glory of what God was going to bring into this earth. See, Jesus is the light for all of humanity, and John was the one to lead the way for that. What a special moment that all of them played a role in. Let's look at Mary. Mary was, unlike Zacharias, not asking for anything. She was asking for nothing. She was just minding her own business. And there it was. She was just chosen to do the most craziest thing that anybody in this world could ever do. And here was an angel showing up to Mary and giving her a God assignment. Some of you are going to have some interruptions from God this next year. Some of you are going to have a redirection from God this year. Some of you are on a path you think you should be on. But I'm here to tell you, get ready, because he's about to interrupt your path. And he's going to give you some supernatural things about it. And you're going to be like, I don't get this. Am I hearing from God? You're probably going to come to us and be like, Pastor Dan, am I crazy? Like, is this really God? But look what Mary did and how she responded to what God was asking of her. Let's learn from Mary. Go with me to Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by this saying, and she tried to discern the sort of greeting that this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How is this, since I am a virgin?" She didn't give him the plan like Zacharias did. She asked a question. And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy and the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month into which she was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, listen to how she said this. She said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You see, Mary's response was to accept what was impossible with joy and with words of faith. The very things that we may not understand that bring us pain, that bring us sorrow, that bring us to places we don't know, and it's a good fight of faith just to get to the other side of it. What if I were to tell you today, what if that was a miracle on the other side of that, that God is using to straighten you out and to bring something bad out of something good, or out of something good out of something bad? Yeah, there you go. And God does that. In Romans, it talks about it. And it says that he has a plan for us and that he turns the bad into the good. I'm here to encourage you today that what is your response to God when something bad is happening in your life? Are you first to complain about it? Are you first to speak death over it? Are you first to agree with it? "Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, just this back of mine. And oh, you know, my kids, those kids, you know. Oh, my wife or my husband. Oh, my husband is so annoying." What are we saying about each other? What are we speaking over things that God has given us that we actually need to be able to speak life back into? You see, church, we got to become a church of faith, like Mary was a woman of faith. Mary didn't have to learn what God was going to do. God was able to approach Mary because Mary was already a woman in a position of faith and humility. And heaven said, oh, I can use that. I can work alongside of her. And so I'm going to use Mary for what it is that I need to get done here on this earth and bring God for humanity through her. I want God to say that about me. I want to know that I know when God does something, that God's in it, that he's in the middle of it, that he's got a plan for it. I don't want to always have to be like Zacharias and learn it all the time. So you might be sitting here today going, you know what, Pastor Jess? If I had to look at both of these stories, I would say I'm more like Zacharias than I am Mary. And listen, it's okay. Take a deep breath. So am I. But many times you will have a faith, you will have a gift of faith for the things that seem impossible. And that is something that's beautiful that is given to people by God. He gives us gifts and revelations of these things. And I believe Mary had a gift of faith that day, just to go, be it unto me. In fact, Mary didn't just curse what was said. She actually spoke over it in a whole chapter called Mary's Song. But I'm going to read a portion of what she said in Luke 1:46. And it says, and Mary sang this song. And it says, my soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praises to God. My spirit bursts with joy over my life-giving God. For he sets his tender gaze upon me, that the lowly servant girl, from here on, everyone will know that I have been favored and blessed. The mighty one worked his mighty miracle for me. Holy is his name. Mercy kisses on all who fear him from one generation to the next. Church, we are the next generation. And to this day, on this Christmas morn, we are letting you know that she is favored and she is blessed. But guess what? You are God's children, and now you are favored and you are blessed. We come from a beautiful generation of God's favor and blessing. And some of you might be newly saved, but I'm here to tell you, you got a whole lifetime of miracles in front of you this next 2025 season. God wants to do some things in you this next season. And some of you have lived these dormant, what was that word, indifferent lives because things have been hard. But I'm here to encourage you, church, shake it up this Christmas season. Shake up your spirit, man. Awaken soul. And go and give you everything you've got for God in 2025. Go tell someone about the good news of who he is. Go tell someone about what God has done for you and your families. Begin to believe God for the impossible. Because if we, the church, are just this dead, broken, busted, disgusted church, then the world is not looking at us and going, oh, I want what they got. But no, they need to see us alive and happy, walking in forgiveness with each other, walking in love with each other, learning how to be in long suffering with each other, learning how to put ourselves in positions that we maybe don't like, but God is asking us to step out in faith in. And guess what happens? Heaven says, just like Mary, oh, they're highly favored and they're highly blessed. I don't know where you are. Are you in a season of learning like Zacharias? Or are you already in a faith season like Mary? Well, I've been through a journey this last year. And in the beginning of 2024, I went in and they had told me that I possibly had breast cancer. Doctors were running in and out of the room, acting crazy. If you're a doctor, like, just calm it down. Don't make a big scene. Like, because I was like panicking. Like, what is going on here? They throw the word cancer around. I'm sure they have to. I heard they have to do it for legalities, whatever. And I was like, what? Do I need to call Dan? And I remember sitting in that room panicking, just being in a moment like, I'm all by myself. This is really happening. Oh my goodness. And it was like such a panic. And then I went and had surgery. God put me on a 40-day fast of juice every meal, you guys. That was such a God thing. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. So if you're going to do it, you better need God to tell you to do it, okay? And so when I did it, I know that God was using it to heal my body and to reignite my cells and to cleanse them and detox them. And so I know God healed me. And I got a report when they had the surgery and they took it out and they said, it is not cancer. There's no report of cancer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Dad dies right after I start recovering and coming back. My dad dies. He was my best friend. He was my hero. He was the other part of me. If you wonder where I come from, I am more like my dad in a woman's body, which is not good for me. And so I have a massive hole in my life right now, and I'm learning to trust God through that. And then, not just that, they started to tell me there's some things going on the lower part of my body, and they told me that I possibly could have uterus cancer, and that they wanted to run all these tests and take me through all these things. And so I just want to let you know, in my knower of knowers, I was like, no. This is wrong. All of this is wrong. This is not God. This is not the plan God has. No. And so I'm like, I'm going to go through the process, but I'm telling you right now, by faith, I know that I'm going to get good reports. Well, Monday, I got a good report, no uterus cancer. Amen. And Thursday, I sat in that ultrasound room after they had done another stupid mammogram, and I'm waiting for the response. I'm waiting for the doctor to come in the room. The first time, remember, I told you I panicked and I worried. And this time, the room was so peaceful. She had music on. I literally almost fell asleep because we've been really busy getting Christmas ready for you guys. And I was so at rest in who God was that I almost fell asleep. When the lady walked in the room, I was like, oh, hi. And she goes, well, I'm here to tell you that we found no cancer. It didn't grow, and it's actually not, it's shrinking. So I need you to know, we don't want to worry about it. We don't need to put you on high alert. Look at God. But it was in that moment that I had faith like Mary. Like, I just knew that God was going to give me a great report. But there were other times I was like Zacharias, where I'm like, but how is this going to work, God? So wherever you find yourself today, know that God's grace is there for you in the process. Know that God loves you so deeply. But let's be Christians that get ourselves in 2025 strong enough in our faith that no matter what comes, it won't take us out. It's not going to get us off our block. We are stable and we are firm because there was a baby who came in the form of a baby, a God of heaven who created the universe that knows every hair on your head, even the ones you lost in the shower today. And he came for you all those years ago so that we could be in faith, so that we could be encouraged, so that we could tell someone of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to give you guys a moment right now. I want you to just spend some time with God. Ask yourselves, have I stopped dreaming? Is there a dream maybe that I've kind of allowed to die in my life because I got weary in it. I got tired of asking God. And then ask God to begin to put his supernatural on it again. And maybe some of you need to ask God what it is he has for you. And maybe God's going to give you a dream and give you a miracle this Christmas season.
What is the God dream that he's given you right now? You've had maybe a picture in your imagination, maybe a scripture rise up in your spirit. Make sure to write it down. You don't want to forget. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who directs and guides our life. God, you have good things in store for us. God, you want to do the supernatural on our behalf, and so we believe you for it. God, we expect to see it. God, in advance, we thank you. Lord, by faith, we see every obstacle overcome, God. Every blockage broke through in the name of Jesus. Father, we'll do our part, and we know, God, that you're faithful. You're going to do your part. So we humble ourselves in faith, God, and we believe you for great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one to leave during this time. I want to just take these last moments of our time together and make sure that your life is right with Jesus Christ. It'd be a tragedy if we let you go and we said, hey, that's it. All right, we'll see you next year or in the future, and you died and went to hell. Now, once again, I'm going to ask everybody to remain seated because I know we've got our leave early sections, but there's people not in the leave early sections, leaving early. So church is not done yet. Give God some more time. We'll let you go in a few minutes. But I just want to make sure that your heart is right with God. Because if you died and went to hell, my goodness, you'd wish you'd have paid attention. And so just give me a couple more minutes of your time. We'll let you go. Sometimes people get it wrong about how to get to heaven. They think that because they sat in church service, called themselves a Christian, that makes them a Christian, when nothing could be further from the truth. Your attendance doesn't make you that thing. It's like me going to a Dodger game and saying I'm a Dodger. I'll never become a Dodger. I'm not one of the players. I may be a fan. And I think even in church, we got a lot of fans, but we don't got as many Christians. Because there's something different than just sitting in a seat in a sanctuary, warming up a spot. Something deeper. How do you get to heaven? Sometimes people say, well, I've been a good person. I know God wants us to be good. Yeah, I used to be bad, but I cleaned up my act. I've been really good lately. I haven't done any big sins. I'm better than that other guy. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is looking for you to earn your way into heaven by good works? You're not going to make it. You can't be good enough. In fact, the Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't be good enough to earn your way in, and in the same way, you can't be bad enough to keep you out. Sometimes people say, well, pastor, let me clean up my act, then I'll come to God. You don't know what I was doing last night. You don't know what I was doing this morning. Listen, I don't. God does. But God's not in therapy over it. He provided for it on the cross. You come to him, he'll clean you up from the inside out. Don't waste your time trying to be good enough to earn God's favor, because you can't. You just come to him as you are, and he'll receive you. Sometimes you think, well, I was raised in church. My parents told me you were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or St. Christopher on your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child? Went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. Got involved in your last church. You sang in the choir, helped out, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of you as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church. That's great. I'm glad you did those things. Show me in the Bible where that gets you into heaven. Your family association, your location, your church involvement. It's not going to make it. There's no default setting, because you're not some other religion that by default you get lumped into the category of being a Christian. You get to head for heaven and deny hell. It's not going to make it. Come on, listen up. I'm not playing games today. Not blowing smoke all over you or throwing water on your face. No smoke and mirrors, none of that. It's just the truth of God's word. You're not going to make it to heaven because of that. And I'm loving you today. It'd be unloving for me to not warn you, but it's loving for me to tell you. If you went to hell, you'd say, man, that pastor should have told me. Why didn't he? Maybe he doesn't like me. But see, I love you enough to tell you the truth today. Come on, listen up. We're talking about your eternal life. Some of you think, well, wait a second. Hold on, pastor, because, you know, I know God. I know about Jesus. I know about Easter and the resurrection. I sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I've got a nativity set in my house right now. On my lawn, I'm telling others. I could quote scriptures to you. Old and New Testament, some of those scriptures you read today, I've quoted those scriptures. I know those scriptures. I know God. But can I tell you something? The devil can quote scriptures. He's not a Christian. Bible says demons believe and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up here at me for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about having mental ascent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, being able to quote a scripture. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. But rather, it's about your heart. Jesus said it like this in John, the third chapter, to a religious leader of his day who was a good guy, did good deeds, held to the strictest form of the religious law, and yet none of that would get him into heaven. Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know. We say that and people turn off. They go, I saw that in a movie, read about that in a blog on the internet. That's weird. I don't want to have any part of that. Listen, don't let society, movies, Hollywood, television, books, and blogs on the internet define for what being born again is. Let the Bible define for us what being born again is. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing, and you need to listen up because this is God's way. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And God said it, John the third chapter, you must be born again. So what does being born again mean? Here's what it means all throughout the Bible. It means you surrender to God all of your heart, and that you surrender to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to us here in this church and online today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. What's he saying? He's saying indifference, half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. Don't expect to make it. Because only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. So today, I want to give you an opportunity to give God all of your heart and to give God all of your life. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're saying something. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart, want to give God all my life, want to be born again, headed for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it if you're here live. You can put it right back down. Online, you can just throw it up for a moment and put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. I came with people. They'll know. They'll see. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever? No one would make that trade, and yet the devil thinks you're a fool, so he's trying to talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're ready to get your hands up. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven, but if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You're not getting another shot at this. Not coming back as a dog or a frog, working your way up into human, getting another swing. You've got one life to live, this life. And you've got this moment guaranteed to you. You don't have tomorrow. Sometimes people say, I've got more time. I'm fine. I'm young. I'm spry. I've got this. I'll make that decision later. Listen, don't put this off. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. Jesus could come back at any moment. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Jesus could come. I hope he comes soon, but for your sake, I hope he waits until you've made the right decision to give him all of your heart and to give him all of your life. Right now, you've got that opportunity in front of you. Just like Joshua, the Old Testament, told the children of Israel, today I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But today, that same opportunity is in front of you, and it's not Joshua of the Old Testament, it's Jesus, the high priest and the leader in the New Testament. And he sets before you life and death. Life is connection with God for eternity, and death is separation from God forever. That's called hell. You get to choose with your life. And today, can I encourage you? Choose life. Make the right choice. Surrender to God all of your heart. Surrender to God all of your life. It's so simple. It's so easy today. You can start that path, that journey, by simply raising your hand in a moment. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Never given God all of your heart and life, but today you need to do that. Maybe you even prayed a prayer one time, but you know you didn't follow it up with all of your heart and life. Come on, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm, half-hearted. Maybe you've backslidden. And today you need to come home like the prodigal. Today, it's your day of salvation. Don't let anything distract you. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Don't worry about the person next to you. Right now, key in. What if today was your last day? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? If you know you wouldn't make it, or you don't know, you're not sure, or maybe you backslid and you need to come home, you've been indifferent, and it's time to make a fresh dedication. This is your time. This is your moment. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hands to the microphone. You know who you are, both live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one, two, three. Thank you. God bless you. There's four up there. There's five up there. Thank you. Six in the back. Seven, eight. Got you. Nine right there. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? 10, 11, 12. Thank you. 13, 14 up front. Got you right here. 14. Another one on this side. 15 right there. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. 16 right there. Yes. 17 and 18 in the fam rooms. I got you guys. Thank you for the movement. Appreciate it. 17, 18, 19, and 20 up top. Got you guys up there. Thank you. 20, 21. Yeah. Way in the back. I got you. That's wonderful. 21. Anybody else real quick? You know what? Can I just say this? I've been really nice so far, but some of you guys are being rude to the Holy Spirit by moving around when God is drawing people to himself. Okay? So I'm going to ask one more time politely. Next time I'm going to yell at you and throw something. No, I won't throw anything, man. Gosh, can't lie in the pulpit. I'll throw my words at you. Sit down. Respect the move of God. Like Joseph, he wouldn't even touch Mary until she delivered his son. Do you respect God enough to be used of him in this moment to bring someone else on their path of salvation? Pray for them. Don't be getting up walking around. Who else today? You need to give God all your heart and need to give God all your life. Come on, focus in right now. What if today was your last day? Would you make it? Yes or no? If it's no, you don't know, come on, make the right choice. Another two right here. Thank you. I think we're at 20, 21, and 22. Who else today? Anybody else? Need to give God all your heart and need to give God all of your life. 22 wise people. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. 23. Awesome. Best decision right there. You'll never regret following Jesus because you get the Christmas blessing. That's God himself in you. Not just with you, in you. Anyone else? 23 wise people. Last call. Last sweep. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray together. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for about 23 wise people. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I'm going to lead you in that confession right here at the altar. Let's all stand again. No one leave during this time. Don't be rude to the Holy Spirit. He's drawing people right now to the altar. If you raise your hand, you should have raised your hand. Come on, get out of your seat. Get your stuff. Get a friend if you need a friend. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Parents, if your children raise your hand, bring them. Or if you got your kids with you from the family rooms, come on. Bring them right now with you. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, church. Let's encourage them. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. From the foyer, if you were walking out and you stopped and you said, you know what, I need to do this, come on back in the church service right now. From the foyer, come on down. Who else today need to come and give God all of your heart, need to come and give God all of your life? Come on. They're coming. They're coming. You can come too. Come on, there's more of you. You need to come, even from the family rooms, from the foyer, front to back, left to right, wherever you're at. Come on down right now. They're still coming. They're still coming. Church, be the full-time minister. Would you nudge your neighbor and say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Bring them right now. Come on down. Come on, they're still coming. They're still coming. Let's keep it going for them. You can come too. Come on, they're coming right now. Come on down. Yeah, they're still coming. Come on, if you need to come, just come right now. Come on. Take that first step. The rest will be easy. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. Come on. You can come too. Even if you didn't raise your hand, come on right now. Come on down. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that no one comes to the Lord except the Holy Spirit draw them. Today you didn't respond to my message, to my words. You responded to God and what He was doing in your life. God's going to do a miracle. Right now, you're going to get that Christmas blessing that we talked about. Jesus is going to come and live on the inside of you. Oh, man, God's still drawing people. Look at this. Holy Spirit's at work. So grateful for you guys. Today, it's a great day. You're going to be able to say, man, I gave my heart to the Lord at Christmas, just like God gave me His heart at Christmas in the form of His Son, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart to be born again. Okay, I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. Everybody's going to join in with you just to encourage you, okay? So you'll hear everybody saying it with you. And if you miss a word or two, don't worry about it, okay? You're still saved, all right? This is really about your heart. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I want you to say these words out loud together in faith, even online if you're giving your heart to the Lord right now. Say this with us. Say, Father God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. I give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, the only begotten of God. That He came, He died, and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. You guys can come up too. I saw you guys walking up during the prayer. You guys are welcome to come on up. Come on, come on, be a part of the family. Listen, this is wonderful. It's absolutely amazing. Now, you just made a commitment to follow the Lord for the rest of your life. Now, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. If you commit to go to the gym and you go one time, it doesn't do you much good, does it? In fact, it might hurt you more than it does you good. But here's the deal. You keep going, you get strong. Same thing with church. Come one time, it'll be all right. You know, it's fun. We had a good time. But if you don't show up again, it's not going to do you much good. So I want to encourage you, stay consistent. Keep coming to church. We got like 8 church services a week here. We're kind of crazy that way. But we're just here working hard for you. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Prayer is just simply talking with God just like you did right now. It's so simple. Just wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Right? That's a wonderful prayer to pray. Here's a great prayer that my wife prayed with me this morning. Help, God. we're gonna preach. We need help. It's a great prayer to pray. If you ever need help, just ask God. Okay? It's so simple. Keep reading your Bible. You don't have to read the whole thing in a day. Just find something that speaks to you. I would encourage you, start in some of the scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, any one of those. Acts, Romans, all right? Keep reading. In fact, give us this next year. Plug in here at The Rock. If you don't have a good home church already, if you have a good home church, stay there, all right? Grow there if you're growing. But if you don't, can we put in our application? We'd love to be your church, okay? And keep coming. Plug in. And Christmas 2025, December 25th, 2025, you're going to look at your life and say, wow, I'm a different person. Look at what the Lord has done in my life. Okay, with those thoughts in mind, I want to introduce you to my friend, Pastor Joel. He's waving at you. Good guy. He wants to give you some free stuff. Talk to you about getting back to church, helping you to get consistent. Okay, and after a couple minutes of your time, he'll let you go. Your friends and family will wait for you. Okay, easy and free. Just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Woo. I tell you. Now, all those people that left made us late. Look, they took an extra 10 minutes of your time. I'm so sorry. No, really, it was the preachers. We just were having too much fun. We love you guys. Merry Christmas, Rock Church family. From our family, the Roth family, the Cobrays, we just love you guys so much. I know that we're praying for you guys this Christmas season. Tonight, 6 p.m. Actually, Pastor Joel has a Christmas message tonight, 6 p.m. Going to be great. So come and join us. Let's grow in the things of God. And then 5 p.m. Tuesday night, I'm looking forward to having communion with you. Let's come to the Lord's table before we go to our home table. And man, I tell you, the blessing of God, his presence will be with us. Amen. Can I bless you as we go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord, even online? Come on. If you prayed that prayer with us, just hang with us right after we dismiss. There'll be some information for you as well. But let me bless you right now. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith, we declare out loud on purpose that the imminent empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.